The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for joining. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can check us out online, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about the gallbladder. And if you think in your head, this show won't apply to me because I don't have my gallbladder, this show does apply to you, especially if you don't have your gallbladder, on what you should be doing to help break down and actually utilize and absorb some of the fats that you're consuming. So if you think, oh no, this is going to be on, if you have your gallbladder, if you have a sludgy gallbladder, don't worry. We are going to break it down. So a little bit about what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. It's so funny talking about gallbladder. And I was chatting with my radio producer, just talking about how the one big takeaway from here is not that, oh my gosh, I have gallbladder problems, and so I need to get adjusted, right? Like, I'll get adjusted and my gallbladder will function normally again. Because here's inevitably the thing. When we talk about what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, our inevitable goal is to get more down to the root cause of the problem. Now, we don't treat organ systems in the office, but what we do is we look at cellular cycles, we look at nutritional deficiencies, and we have the opportunity for the body to start functioning the way that God intended it. You know, I truly believe that we weren't designed to be sick. Though that being said, if we're not concentrating more on who we are in cellular health, this is why we see sickness. This is so funny because as I'm talking about this, I have my computer pulled up to go and read our health in the news. And there is this Reese's peanut butter cup and Kit Kat cereal that comes on here. And I'm like, just like, well, this is it, right? We're talking about cellular health, but then we go and we look and it's like, what are we eating for breakfast? And, you know, my kids this morning had egg banana pancakes, and we do fresh organic berries every morning. What else? We did gluten-free French toast. And now you're going to think, oh my gosh, I don't have time to make that every morning. Either do I. I made a couple big batches and then I put it in a convection oven and I warm it up. Why? Because I value the time it took me to prep the food so that my kids can have food that will fuel their cells, not only for the day that they're about to take on, but overall just cellular health, which is why it really dives down deep into our health in the news.
Dr. Leanne's Health News.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health News Now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications. Maybe
today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
Today's Health in the News. Accelerated aging linked to cancer risk in younger adults, research shows. So they talk about how researchers are looking for clues about why some types of cancers are on the rise in young adults. And they say they found an interesting lead, a connection to accelerated biological aging. What does that mean? So aging is the major risk factor for many types of cancers, meaning the older that you get, the more likely you are to be diagnosed. And increasingly, experts recognize that age is more than just the number of candles on a birthday cake. It's also the wear and tear on the body caused by lifestyle, stress, and genetics, which is sometimes referred to as a person's biological age. They say, we all know cancer is an aging disease. However, it is really coming to a younger population. So whether we can use the well-developed concept of biological aging to apply that to the younger generation is really an untouched area. This comes from Dr. Yin Cao, an associate professor at surgery for Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis. Oh my gosh, it's senior. Author of the new research. They always have the longest titles. Which has actually been presented this past week at the American Association of Cancer Research annual conference in San Diego. So I thought this was kind of interesting. So they looked at about 150,000 people aged 37 to 54 who are participants in a large data research called UK Biobank. This is kind of interesting because this would more transparently 37 to 54, I do fit in that age range, closer to the lower part, but trending up. Anyway, so they honed in on 9 blood-based markers that have been shown to correlate with biological age. Number one is they looked at albumin. So albumin is a protein made by the liver that declines with age. They looked at creatinine, which is a waste product in the blood by protein digestion and the breakdown of muscle tissue. So it kind of measures kidney function. So a lower level correlates to a better longevity, right? Which would make sense because if you have less waste product in your blood, right? Glucose. So with age, blood glucose stays higher for longer after meals. That's 100% not true. They looked at blood glucose. They looked at C-reactive protein. C-reactive protein is a protein made by the liver in response to inflammation. So it makes sense that a relatively higher level of CRP, C-reactive protein, is a higher, faster level of aging. They looked at lymphocyte percentage. So this is the concentration of white blood cells related to immune function, tends to decrease with age. So again, that kind of makes sense. If you're saying, hey, your immune system, which is designed to fight cancer, is lessening, then that would be problematic. Mean cell volume, that would say MCV on your CBC that you would get. This is the average size of white of red blood cells, which increases with age. Red cell distribution width, the difference between the size of a person's smallest and largest red blood cells tends to increase with age, right? The size of the difference. They looked at alkaline phosphatase, which is ALP on your complete metabolic panel. The liver enzymes made by your, or it's a liver enzyme made by your liver and bones that tends to increase with age. When it increases, that means that your liver is not functioning properly. And then white blood cell count, number of white blood cells in the high end of the normal range in blood may correspond with greater aging, right? So these are these cell cycles of our body saying like, hey, things are going awry cellularly, but we look at just this overhead view and we don't dive down deeper into why. So these 9 values were then plugged into an algorithm called the PhenoAge, and that was calculated each person's biological age. So the researchers determined accelerated aging by comparing people's biological age to their chronological age. And then they checked cancer registries to see how many in the group had been diagnosed with early cancers, which the researchers defined as cancer appearing before the age of 55. There were nearly 3,200 cancer diagnosed. So the researchers found that people born in 1965 or later were 17% more likely to show accelerated aging than those born between 1950 and 1954. So they just go on to tell you about the strength of the research is that researchers saw that these signals in such large number of people that she acknowledges that, of course, there's limitations too. But they said here, after adjusting the data for factors they thought might be bias, the researchers found that accelerated aging was associated with increased risk for cancers. Strongest associations were seen with lung, stomach and intestinal, and uterine cancers. I'm going to tell you why I think that's interesting in a minute. Compared with people who had smallest amount of faster aging in the biobank, those who scored highest had the twice amount of risk of early onset lung cancer more than 60% higher risk for a gastrointestinal tumor and a more than 80% higher risk of uterine cancer. So then they're looking at, there are medications that can look into slowing down the accelerating aging. So that's, but yeah, so they just talk about it's super interesting. There's not quite a prime time that we would go out and prescribe those medications to people. And I just think, like, what are those medications going to do? So here's what they say. Your cell cycles aren't working properly. And we're, the first thing is, like, what causes cancer? And it's hard to say definitively, because there's not just one thing that causes cancer. But what they did say is that we looked at wear and tear on the body. We look at causes by lifestyle. So are you exercising? Are you eating well? Are you taking vitamins? What's your stress level? All of these things. And basically, and I see this a lot from some of the functional medicine tests that we do, it's oxidative stress or oxidative damage. There are a lot of things that might cause that damage to a cell. And that those are one of the things when you're like, hey, you know what we're looking at? C-reactive protein. And we're like, what is C-reactive protein? And you're like, well, C-reactive protein is just your body saying that there's inflammation somewhere. And you're like, well, what's the inflammation from? And you're like, it could be from dysbiosis in the GI tract. It could be from yeast or candida. It could be that you have a heavy metal toxicity. It could be that you have a nutrient deficiency, a blood sugar imbalance, right? Like, blood sugar just doesn't, like, go up when you get old. It's not like, oh, you turned 80, so now you're unable to manage your blood glucose any longer. It's, hey, you have kept your blood glucose at a relatively high rate long enough that now you're burning out those insulin receptors. So what you would normally eat before, your body can't utilize because over the course of time, that's not an age-related problem. That's a, you burnt out your sugar, your insulin receptors over the course of time. So now your body's aging where it can't do that. But then there's people who are in their 100s who can regulate their blood sugar just fine. And you're like, no, it's what we did to our body leading up throughout the ages that caused that. And then we're like, hey, your white blood cell count's off, or your liver enzymes are up. Well, if your liver enzymes are up, that means your liver is working really hard to try. Same thing with creatinine, a waste product in your blood. Do you think that's going to cause more damage to the cells? And you're like, of course. Well, if you cause damage to the cells over the course of time, it causes cellular abnormalities, causes damage to the DNA. That causes abnormal cells, which causes precancerous cells, which causes cancer. So you're like, well, of course. Of course, on a cellular level, your body is screaming. I had a patient just the other day. She's brought me her lab work to look over the last couple times. And the last several years, like, I should say two at least by this point. And it's like, hey, I have noticed that your white blood cells have been out of range now for quite a bit of time. And you're like, well, what does that mean? And you're like, well, honestly, the fact that it's out of range for that long, like, we need to do a deeper. And I said, were they concerned about it? Were they? And she said, no. And I said, even though it's been out of range, because one time out of range, it could just simply be that, that were like, oh gosh, yep, you had a little bit of a viral infection. But then you're not going to have that same viral infection 3 or 4 days later unless you have Epstein-Barr virus or cytomegalovirus that has come up as a recurrence, right? So there's all of these other things. And so when I see this study that they're like, hey, we just want to let you know that if there's more damage on your cell, you're more likely to have cancer, and that could happen earlier now. And you're like, well, of course. But here's what I see the big problem is that when we see these lab values that are slightly out of range, but not anything to immediately indicate, you know, the risk of active cancer, it's like, well, what do we do? And you're like, let's just watch it and check next year. Let's check back in 6 months. Let's check back in a year. It's so, you know, I have these out of range values and we do this functional medicine testing. And you see these people start to become well and you're like, oh, so it's 74 when we see super high oxidative stress. There actually are things that we can do to start reversing that process and cleaning those cells and getting more to the root cause of the problem, even though we don't know, like, oh, especially too, when I talk about how I think it's more GI and uterine and how increased that is. And you're like, how does your body get rid of toxins? Like, how does that happen? Why is it that hairdressers have the highest risk of uterine cancer? Well, because they're not urinating at the frequency that they should. And that's how their body's trying to rid itself of the toxins that they're using for hair. And the longer that it sits against that uterus, you know, so then we see this risk of colon, GI, or uterine-related cancer, hormone imbalance, right? Like, we know that these chemicals dysregulate hormones. We know that, you know, how does your body rid itself of toxins is through stool. And I see someone who's only having a regular bowel movement every 3 to 4 days. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And they're like, that's just who I am. And I'm like, that's not what it should be though. And so we don't necessarily treat organ systems, but if there are cellular cycles that are yelling and screaming, I have damage. Like, those are ones over the course of time, if left ignored, can increase other disease processes, right? So that's one where you're like, no, you're not going to tell people you're seeing your chiropractor to reduce your risk of cancer. But it's one on a cellular function and the level, if we can get more to the root cause and what's happening. And I feel like the gallbladder is no different. So I want to talk and dive down deeper into that next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Videos, tips, deals, and more. Find Greenwood Family Chiropractic on Instagram. Here's Dr. Leanne. I feel it in me like the beating of life in my veins. Oh, I know there's gonna be some bright day. Oh, I swear that sun will find you when you're ready. I feel it in me like the beating of life in my veins. I know there's gonna be some bright day.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853. That's 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, yep. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today we're talking about gallbladders. Why do we have those things to begin with? If you in your brain think, not I, because it's gone, we'll talk about that too, because there are very much actionable steps that you can take if you no longer have a gallbladder in order to ensure that you are breaking down fats to be able to absorb them properly. So let's talk first and foremost about that little gallbladder. So I will say that it's interesting to see if we take x-rays, I can show people where their gallbladder used to be because there's two little staples. And people say, I didn't know they left in staples. Yep. Sure do. Now, what is, like, why do we even have that little small organ? So your gallbladder has a primary role of storing bile that is made in the liver. I feel like the average person doesn't know that. They know of their gallbladder and they just know when their gallbladder is angry, but they don't actually know if, like, what it does. So it is actually part of the digestive system. The gallbladder helps communicate back and forth to other organs in order to perform functions such as enzyme production and storage, chemical reactions that break down food into nutrients, and elimination of waste. So the gallbladder sits just underneath the liver, and they really do work hand in hand. So the primary need for the gallbladder is storing and recycling excess bile, so bile can be reused for the digestion of future meals. So what bile is and what it does. So it helps enzymes in the body break down into fatty acids. So once bile is made in the liver, it travels to the gallbladder through a channel called your cystic duct. The gallbladder then stores the bile between meals, so when we eat, bile can be squeezed through the duct as needed and used to break down food before it makes our way into our intestines. So it is an important organ system that, and I feel as if too, if people know that your gallbladder is not working properly, or if you don't have a gallbladder, when you don't have that breakdown of fat in order to absorb and digest, that's ones where you often see like free, we're talking about poop on the radio again. It's been a lot recently. You will see after a bowel movement, like you'll have a lot of stomach cramping, or you'll see stool that's not solid and formed. It's floaty on the top. That's that fatty, floaty stool. It's because your body's not breaking down properly with bile. So what are some symptoms? I would say the most obvious symptom is typically pain. Pain in the back, pain in the abdomen, especially like sometimes severe shooting pains when you push on the upper right part of the abdomen, kind of like underneath your rib cage. And it can spread outward to the lower back or the right shoulder blade or the top of the thighs. I would say most common presentation for gallbladder attack is that right shoulder pain. You'll notice that there's tenderness or swelling over the gallbladder. Nausea, loss of appetite, trouble breathing. Sometimes you'll see a fever, just depending on where it's at, muscle weakness, fatigue, dizziness. Most of those is when the fever will affect more with like acute gallbladder inflammation, but not as common with someone who has more chronic cholecystitis. Cholecystitis is inflammation of the gallbladder. Now, stones. I would say gallstones is what people heard about. Women over 40 develop gallstones most often. And compared to men, they're also more likely to deal with recurrent gallbladder symptoms like abdominal pain, back pain, indigestion. Most of the time, the gallbladder symptom due to stones, the stones formed from cholesterol, calcium, and other particles that bind to each other and become lodged inside of the gallbladder. There are several factors that increase your risk of developing gallstones and gallbladder symptoms like cholecystitis. One of the major ones is going to be your diet, your age, your weight, your gender, genetics all influence. But I would say there's a lot of things that people don't realize, like pregnancy. You're like, oh, it's not bad enough. You're like, add a gallbladder attack on there. Sedentary lifestyle, having low LDLs, which is your good cholesterol, rapid weight loss from crash dieting. So that's one where what I often see is that someone will have pain, and it is pain that is acute. It's very sudden. And it usually will end them in the ED, the emergency department. And they're like, oh no, what is it? You know, and they'll say, we'll send you out for a referral for getting it removed. It's only functioning at whatever percentage. I hear that a lot too. Whatever percentage that it's functioning at. And so we just take it out. We don't just take it out. And you're like, Does removing it get rid of the problem? And now here's what I think is interesting. It might relieve some people's symptoms. But when you look at what are the causes and the risk factors of developing gallstones or gallbladder disease. 1, consuming a poor diet or suffering from nutritional deficiencies, crash dieting or losing weight too quickly in other ways. Sometimes it's helpful, sometimes it's not. Pregnancy and hormonal changes, use of birth control pills, oral contraceptives, diabetes, having high triglycerides, which is almost every time those that type of fat in the bloodstream is caused from excessive sugar intake, having a low HDL, so low, the really good fats, having a sedentary lifestyle, or a history of autoimmune viruses or infection that hinder the immune system, right? So you're like, you can take out the gallbladder, but if you still have a poor diet, if you still are doing crash dieting, if you're still using hormonal oral contraceptive replacements, if you're still not exercising, if you're still consuming sugar, you're like, you took out the organ system, but you're not changing the cellular cycles. I hope that makes sense, right? So when we see these problems going on, there are different types of gallbladder cleanses that you can do. Now, I will say that they are not well received by a lot of medical doctors. And I can kind of understand why. if you're doing this, but here's my thought process. If you're going to take out an organ system, like, it's not, God didn't make the gallbladder by mistake, but we have these problems with the gallbladders because we just used our stomach as a food dumpster forever. And we use all of these synthetic, just awful inflammatory fats. And we just are like, it's fine. It's fine. It's like our organ systems will filter all that out. And then eventually they're like, listen, man, lady, I'm tired. I can't do this anymore. I've tried to do my best and now I'm sludgy and slow and I'm not moving and I'm causing you pain. And we're like, well, just don't change anything lifestyle wise, but just take it out. Just cut it out. And I'm like, well, now you're left with all of these poor lifestyle and poor habits, but with one less organ to help you do that. Oh, so I think that's one where, for me, and this is my very, very personal opinion for myself, right? Like, if I'm not your doctor, this can't be my opinion for you. I'm not your doctor. You are not my patient. But here's my thought process behind it, is that before anyone puts a knife to any part of my body, I am going to say I did everything conservative to do it first. Back surgery, right? Yeah, there's a time and a place for it. I will say I did everything conservative in my wheelhouse before I did that. You want to take out an organ system, tonsils, adenoids, gallbladder. I heard someone who went in for a surgery and they're like, do you want us just to take out the appendix while we're in there? It'll save you a surgery in the long run. And I was like, they're like, it doesn't do anything. You're like, it doesn't. What do you mean the appendix doesn't do anything except for rupture and burst? Like, they're actually, it was a couple years back that they found, it was like Wake University, somewhere in North Carolina, Duke, found that it was a reservoir for bacteria. So when you came into contact with a really bad GI bacteria, like Giardia, traveler's diarrhea, it would spew out a whole bunch of really, really good positive probiotics to help balance that out and protect the intestines. And you're like, oh, just want me to take it out while I'm in there? No big deal. It's because you don't know and understand. And so for me, what I've seen so much on the other end of things is that when we have a GI-related complaint of some sort, the first go-to is removing the gallbladder. And I will say, from experience just of patients in the office, is that a good majority of time they take out the gallbladder, their GI systems don't improve, lessen, or resolve, and then they're like, oh, maybe that wasn't it. Let's keep working. And now you're less one organ, and you're like, well, can you put it, if it wasn't that, can you put it back? And you're like, no, it's not how it works. So just inevitably, it kind of blows my mind more than anything that we're like, hey, no big deal. And you're like, but it is a big deal. But if you don't have a practitioner that's more educated on how to, so there are different gallbladder cleanses that you can do. And it might not be just a one and done, right? Like, you might have 3 decades and we think that, you know, 2 days of helping clean out our gallbladder is just going to resolve every problem we've ever had. And you're like, that's not how it works, because you also have to navigate and change. You can't take out an organ and keep doing all of the things that got to that organ system dysfunction and think that once you take it out, other organ systems aren't going to dysfunction as well. It's just society, just, it's one of the things I'm like, man. And you might say it doesn't work. And you're like, okay, but does if I move my gallbladder from a 25% to a 40% functioning gallbladder, does that still function the no gallbladder at all? And again, I understand some of you are at a point where you just don't have that, right? Like, you don't have a 20 or 40 or 60% functioning gallbladder. You have no gallbladder. And regardless, there are ways that we can go and address underlying systems, natural plans for gallbladder problems if you do inevitably have them, or what you should be doing long term if you don't have a gallbladder to help break down those fats. And we'll dive down deeper into that next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us.
Once in a while, I catch myself. Once in a while, I ask myself, what am I doing? Once in a while, I need your help. But once in a while, I feel like, ooh, I just want to dance.
Today, we are talking about all things gallbladder. Or if you don't have one, we're talking about what to do there too. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853. That's 317-893-2853. Or you can always check us out online, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Now, what if you still have your gallbladder and it's not going well? It's not like actually funny, because if you've had a gallbladder attack, you know that it's one of like the least funny things ever. But there are things that you can do, right? Number one is that you got to clean up your diet. And that's with if you have a gallbladder, if you don't have a gallbladder, you have to clean up your diet. So what does this mean? Your diet needs to include more plant-based foods. And not plant, let me, plant foods, not plant-based foods, because plant-based foods are processed foods that were plants that they turned into probably some artificial junk. You have to stay away from unprocessed foods. You need to look at the type of oils that are being put on there, because so many times when we're looking at fried food, hydrogenated oils, those shelf-stable foods, like anything that's in your pantry, is probably causing more inflammation, more hormonal imbalance, more stress on the system. So one of the things that's really important is eating more high fiber foods. So the average person should aim for about 30 to 40 grams of fiber per day. That means more leafy greens, tomatoes, sweet potatoes, bananas, beets, artichokes. Staying away from the unrefined fats, so good fats, olive oil, coconut oil, in moderation, especially if you don't have that. The next aspect, too, is regular exercise. You have to move. Reason being is because there's a huge benefit for hormonal balance, reducing inflammation, digestive health, and maintaining a healthy weight when you are physically active. Now, here's what I want to share real quick, because I have a couple other steps. And then two, if you don't have your gallbladder, I have specific things that you should look into consuming. But I do want to just kind of touch base and circle back to a testimony that we had a little time back just about symptoms and what we do at our office at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. Now, again, your takeaway is not, hey, I'm going to go see Greenwood Family Chiropractic and my gallbladder will be restored and I won't have to have surgery and all the things, because that's not ever the takeaway. Our inevitable goal is to figure out just to figure out how we can get cellular cycles functioning better. How do we get the body to heal better, to not just feel better, but heal better, and have that aspect. So I want to touch base on Lauren, who is a testimony previously.
Someone who's come into the office more recently and just some of the changes that they've seen from really, really just alone adjustments. I want to say that they did all the other ones, but we just got her. So if we could just give a round of applause to Lauren. Okay, come on over here, front and center. So let's start with this, because this has been a relatively short journey so far. But this is one where it's like sometimes just getting started is the hardest part. So what was your life like before you started at Greenwood Family Chiropractic?
Okay.
Yeah, it's really close.
Well, it started last September. I got a pain right here that was not easily diagnosed, misdiagnosed multiple times. Ended up having three different surgeries that were not necessary. Had my gallbladder taken out, and then, oops, just kidding, it's not your gallbladder. Got diagnosed with superior mesenteric artery syndrome, which is where it wraps around different organs and constricts them. Mine was wrapped around the base of my stomach, right at my intestine, so everything I ate, I threw up. I've lost 37 pounds. It was in about 4 months I did that. Spent multiple weeks and months in the hospital being re-diagnosed and seen by GI doctors and vascular surgeons and anywhere in between, and they just couldn't get anything right for me. My mom has been going to the chiropractor for years now and has tried to stomp it into me to do that, and I was like, Mom, they're not going to fix anything internal. It's not a bone issue. It's vascular.
So, yeah, so Connie, your mom.
Connie, my mother.
Said you should, with all of these problems, seeing all of these doctors, going through all of these tests, in total, how many tests do you think were run before you came into our office?
Over 100. I've had multiple CAT scans with multiple toxins pumped into you. If you've ever had a CAT scan with contrast, I've had probably 15 of those in the past 6 months. MRIs, brain scans, bone scans, blood tests, blood infusions. I've actually had an arterial bleed at one of my laparoscopy surgeries, so they had to give me blood for that. I was very sick.
Do you mind sharing with, how did that affect your family?
I'm 34. I have two daughters, 14 and almost 11. I have a home. I have a job. I have dogs. If you're a mom, you know that you don't stop ever. And I had to stop. And it really put a hold on everyone else. My family tried to step up. We recently lost one of our families, so we're trying to come together to deal with that, and then having to deal with me being in the hospital and having to take care of my kids and not having the income and just trying to deal with life got really, really hard. And then it messes with your mental, too. When you can't do something that you're used to doing, you know, people are, your whole family, if you have a strong family, which I do, thank you, don't worry about it, we'll take care of it. But in your mind, you want to be there, you want to take care of it, and you're not healthy enough, and that really messes with not only your physical, but your mental.
So if they, what was the next step for you? If they couldn't figure out anything else, then the next step is they wanted to do what?
I was scheduled a week before I went into her, the week out from the day that I saw her, I was scheduled for a complete autopsy surgery, is what they called it. They were going to cut me from here to here, and from here to here, pull out all of my internal organs, pull out all of my arteries, cut them, readjust them, and put them back to where they go. It was a 3 month or 3 week in the hospital and 3 to 6 months down, no work, no lifting, no doing anything, pretty much. So that was very scary for me and my kids, just to think of having to do that and be without me for that long, since they've had to do this over a year now. If you have little ones, you know they get terrified when mommy's gone. So
yeah. So then Connie, mom says, you should probably just go see my chiropractor.
And she did, and I went.
Right? So imagine me going back there through that initial exam and consultation.
Uh-huh.
And so, but we sat down and we talked, and we said, hey, like, we have to address the nervous system. And that was how long ago?
6 weeks. Almost 6 weeks.
And so what does life look like in the last 6 weeks for you?
After my third adjustment, I quit throwing up. I was able to keep stuff down a little bit at a time. You know, my stomach had to get used to being food again. I've gained almost 8 pounds. Yay. I'm back to work. My kids have basketball games that I get to go to. I can drive. Obviously, my mental's better because I feel better. She's right about just the adjustment thing. I'm kind of having a hard time with the eating the right stuff.
That's why we're all here
for
today.
So long. So it's like, I'm just going to eat everything because I haven't been able to eat anything forever. So, but I'm working on it.
Yeah, I mean, but I think that's just a testament to when we allow our body, you're strong, you're powerful, and you are made to heal. And that's, so thank you for coming up here and sharing
thank
kind of your
you.
Change and testimony so far.
I talked to my GI doctor, by the way, and had some words and and said, if you have anybody with this issue, and I see them, chiropractic is the way to go.
So awesome. Thank you, Leanne. Give them a round of applause. Thank you.
So if you need more information, reach out. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853 to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Now, some other active lifestyle changes that you can make if you are having gallbladder symptoms. Check your medication. Again, not necessarily in our office at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, but your prescribing physician. What I find is that oral contraceptives like birth control pills, hormone replacement drugs, or cholesterol medication can attribute more to your gallbladder problems. Another one, too, is trying to naturally balance hormones. It was very interesting. So according to the National Foundation of Diabetes, Digestive and Kidney Diseases, the female sex hormone estrogen might be the reason why gallstones are more common among women than men. So estrogen dominance is a big problem among men, however, especially when they consume a poor diet and are overweight. So avoiding chemical toxins exposure, healthy diets, but then too, looking at, there are some natural supplementations that you can help if you're having more of these gallbladder related symptoms. So including milk thistle, turmeric, bile salt, dandelion root, lipase enzymes. Now, I will say that there is, if you have a gallbladder that is having problems, or if you have no gallbladder, one of the aspects, we have a supplement in our office that is designed specifically to address liver and gallbladder. So it's a blend. It's a synergistic blend of nutrients, herbs, vegetable extracts, and other components to help promote bile flow and the digestion assimilation of fats and fat-soluble vitamins. So what does that mean? So what it allows to do is, milk thistle is great for naturally opening up liver detoxification pathways. So this herbal mixture in this liver and gallbladder complex has milk thistle, artichoke, and powdered beetroot, all of which are designed to help support the liver's detoxification process and promote bile flow. Milk thistle specifically is well researched to show that it fosters regeneration of liver cells and helps aid in the flow of bile to promote healthy gallbladder function. Artichoke helps strengthen bile ducts and the gut, where beetroot is a great source of betaine. Lots of people will take like betaine, HCL, but it helps with supporting digestion and essential fat and fat-soluble vitamins. The other thing that I think is really important too, especially if you don't have a gallbladder or if you have a gallbladder that's sluggish and not functioning properly, is ox bile. So ox bile is an effective way to help speed up digestion. It helps boost fat-soluble nutrients. But one of the most important parts is that ox bile is a bile salt. So they're needed for emulsification of lipids, which is fats. So when you're having that like stomach cramping where your body's like, ooh, that free-floating fatty stool at the top, bile salts, ox bile more specifically, can help break down the fats. Because what happens when we do stool tests is I see that people are deficient in fats because their body's getting rid of them. They're not absorbing them properly. It helps prevent gallstones and bile sludge, helps lower the risk of constipation, promotes intestinal health, helps naturally promote thyroid function. So most people don't know, this was actually published in Nature, found that bile acids stimulate the conversion of thyroxine, T4, which is the inactive form of thyroid hormone, to T3, which is the active form. But more than anything, if you have a slow or sludgy gallbladder, this is going to help you break down the fats and emulsify the lipids so that your body can not only digest, but absorb them properly. So it is one, we have it available in the office. You can stop in whatever time. You don't have to be a patient. We are located just south of County Line and Meridian. So just a little bit south of the border of Indianapolis and Greenwood. So stop by, come pick some up. But there's when we're looking at inevitably, again, it's not like you come in and you're like, get adjusted and your gallbladder issues will go away. We don't treat organ systems at our office at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, but there are things that you can do naturally when you're looking at cellular cycles and cellular health. Inevitably, our goal at Greenwood Family Chiropractic is to figure out how to get down to the root cause of the problem. So again, if you want to schedule an appointment, 317-893-2853. Again, that's 317-893-2853. Or you can schedule an appointment online, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. I always appreciate you tuning in. Look forward to next week, but always remember that your power is on.